Welcome to the online service of worship for Knox United Church, Nepean, for the third Sunday in Epiphany, January 24th, 2021. We hope you have a copy of the order of service, which will allow you to participate in the responses and the hymns. This week we have Jane Thompson to sing, read, and participate in the responses. Thank you, Jane, for helping us lead the service today. Our announcements are in the newsletter circulated on Friday. We encourage you to share good news and prayer requests in the newsletter each week. If you would like to send us good news or prayer requests, or to receive the orders of service for future Sundays, please contact the church office at 613-829-2266 or office@knoxnepean.ca. Next Sunday will be our anniversary service. The pandemic prevents us from gathering and having a celebratory cake, but that doesn't mean we can't mark the occasion. And if you wish for something sweet after the service, you might arrange to have something in the knowledge that others will be snacking on anniversary cupcakes or whatever at the same time as you are. Looking a bit farther ahead, we are coming up on our Ask Andrew season. If you have a question that you think might work for a sermon, please email it to minister@knoxnepean.ca. or arrange for it to land in the church mailbox somehow. As in recent years, the Ask Andrew sermons will be spaced out over a number of Sundays. Our treasurer, Jim Stanish, has some words to share.
Thank you to those who contribute through PAR and to those who support us by giving through electronic transfers and checks. You are making it possible for Knox to keep doing all its important work, including these podcasts.
These are all the announcements for today. Let us prepare for worship. Our call to worship for today is responsive, and it is printed in the order of service. We live in a time of change.
It's hard to know what to expect.
In Jesus' day, change was all around.
People wondered then, just as we do now.
As God calls us into the future, into the change,
may we respond with the love that casts out fear.
Our opening prayer is a unison prayer. It is also printed in the order of service. Let us pray together.
God of the prophets, you call us from evil to serve you. Fulfill in us your commonwealth of justice and joy, that the light of your presence may be revealed to all nations, to the glory of Jesus' name. Amen.
Our first hymn is found in Voices United at number 563, Jesus, You Have Come to the Lakeshore. The words are also printed in the order of service.
Thank you. your side, I will seek other seas. You need my hands full of caring, through my labors to give others rest and constant
responsive psalm for today is Psalm number 62. You can find it at Voices United number 779, or you can find it printed in the order of service. We do sing the refrain, so Allison will play it through once, then we will rehearse it before we begin the psalm. How long will all of you set upon me and batter me, as though I were a tottering wall or a leaning fence?
Their purpose is to thrust me down from my eminence. They delight in lies. They bless with their lips, but curse me in their hearts.
Yet be still, my soul, and wait for God.
For whom comes my hope of deliverance?
Rest in God alone, rest in God alone, my soul.
In God is my deliverance and my honor, the rock of my strength and my place of refuge.
Put your trust in God always, you people. Pour out your hearts before the one who is our refuge.
Rest in God alone, rest in God alone, my soul.
For we mortals are only a puff of wind. The great among us are but illusion.
Placed in the balance, we weigh less than a breath.
Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on plunder.
If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them.
Once God has spoken, and twice have I heard it said, power belongs to you, O God. Steadfast love is yours.
You reward us according to our deeds.
Rest in God alone, rest in God alone, my soul, my soul.
The first Bible reading is from Jonah 3, verses 1 to 10. And this takes place after Jonah has been expelled from the whale. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself in sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he had a proclamation made in Nineveh. "By the decree of the king and his nobles, no human being or animal, no herd or flock shall taste anything. They shall not feed, nor shall they drink water. Human beings and animals shall be covered with sackcloth, and they shall cry mightily to God. All shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? God may relent and change his mind. He may turn from his fierce anger so that we do not perish." When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it.
Our next reading is taken from Mark's Gospel, the first chapter, reading verses 14 to 20. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Here ends this lesson. Thanks be to God for these readings of the Word, and to God's name be praise and glory forever. Amen. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our salvation. Amen. Today's scripture lessons give us examples of calls to people to minister, to go out and do something specific for God. Jesus calls Simon and Andrew, James and John, two pairs of brothers, who drop everything to follow him. It's a very familiar story to us. In Jonah, we see the prophet called to go to Nineveh, and we are shown the result. The king and the capital city of what they all considered an evil empire brought to repentance. I mean, how inspiring is that? If we left it there, this could be a simple lesson. When God calls, drop everything and follow, and you may be rewarded with great results. But it's not that simple. And that would be a naive and misleading message. What's Jonah best remembered for? Spending 3 days in the belly of a whale. And why did that happen? Because God had called him to go to Nineveh once before, and Jonah promptly boarded a boat going in the opposite direction to Spain. God sent a storm to the Mediterranean, and the boat was at risk, and there was Jonah, sleeping below while the storm raged. Now, does that sound familiar? And after some hurried investigation and discussion by the sailors, Jonah was thrown overboard to save the ship. Now, the sailors were reluctant about that. It was very clearly pointed out in Jonah's book. But it worked. The storm ceased immediately. God then sent the whale to swallow Jonah to save him from drowning. This wasn't a punishment. This was a rescue. And it was only after this failed attempt to flee from God's call, after the trauma of being thrown overboard to drown, after the ordeal of spending 3 days inside a fish, that Jonah was finally ready to obey God's call. Jonah was a favorite prophet among early Christian writers. They saw in his experience a parallel to Jesus, with the 3 days in the belly of the whale looking like the 3 days between the crucifixion and the resurrection, like a 3-day experience of death. They knew that the parallels, of course, weren't perfect. Jesus was not reluctant, never tried to flee from God. So the gospel writers demonstrated how Jesus was superior to Jonah. When Jesus was awakened in a boat in a storm by panicked sailors, he didn't need to be thrown overboard to calm the waves. He simply stood up and commanded them to be still. Although, at yet another level, the parallel holds, because Jesus would, like Jonah, become a sacrifice, given over to death to save everyone else, given over to spend 3 days in the belly of the beast before being seen alive again. In Jonah's story, he is pursued by God. Jonah's not allowed to wiggle out of his call or leave it to somebody else to do. Our reading today shows the dramatic result of his preaching, but this reading doesn't show how much Jonah really hated what he was doing. You have to read the rest of the book to catch that. Jonah hated the people of Nineveh. They would become responsible for the destruction of the northern kingdom of Israel when they emerged as the Assyrian Empire. If you read all the way into the fourth chapter of Jonah, The first thing you see is the prophet sitting and sulking. He's complaining because he knew that the people would repent. He knew that God would be merciful and failed to destroy them. Oh, and Jonah really wanted them destroyed. They were the enemy, after all. And the conclusion of the book of Jonah is a lesson in the mercy of God and the love of God for all people, not only the chosen people of the Hebrews, and in fact, not only those who are righteous and behave well. The early Christian writers saw in Jonah an imperfect Jesus, someone called to a similar mission, to reach out with God's love to rejected and hostile people, even to experience 3 days of death to achieve God's goal. This parallel gives us something to think about. For one, it's a reminder that the work of Jesus wasn't new. God has reached out to others for a very long time. Jonah gives us an example of God's mercy bubbling over much farther than God's own people can tolerate. That's why Jonah rejected his call at first. That's why God had to pursue Jonah so that he would actually answer the call. Jonah's prejudice against the people of Nineveh probably worked to God's advantage. Consider, that prophet's hatred of the people would have been palpable. Jonah really wanted the threats of destruction to come true, so as he was proclaiming them, his whole soul would have been put into them. He would have been that much more persuasive. So once again, like Eli in last week's lesson, we see God working through a flawed, prejudiced, totally inappropriate representative in order to achieve something good. There should be something comforting in that, to know that when really bad people become leaders, God can work around their own agendas and their own plots to make good things happen, sometimes even using their own flaws to advantage. It's not generally how we think, but why not? If Machiavelli, a human, can sort this out, is God going to be less subtle, less adaptable, less insightful? For those who like to be plain, straightforward, and honorable, it can be a challenge to accept that God might work this way. For those who try to hold on to an image of God that is full of absolutes, you know, like God is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, the idea that God might need to be adaptable is jarring. Isn't everything planned out in advance? For those who take the utterances of God to be things carved in stone, it's hard to know what to believe when God first says Nineveh will be destroyed and then it isn't. Because the mind of God has changed. Or as Scripture sometimes says it, because God has repented. I have no doubt that a part of Jonah's sulk is because his own words didn't come true. Not just because his enemies were spared, but because he would be seen as a fool instead of a prophet. His ego was hurt. Answering the call of God is risky. Jonah and Simon and Andrew and James and John, all of these were led into situations they weren't prepared for. They were faced with unfamiliar people and challenges. They had to confront new ideas. They had to adapt their old thinking. When God called them, part of that call was a challenge to change, to be transformed, to participate in building a new world. We are called, just like those people were. Right now, the world we're living in is upside down. The challenges of our call have become particularly clear these days because so many things have changed. There's a big part of us that would love things to go back to normal as quickly as possible, and there's another part of us that knows that simply can't happen. We can try, like Jonah, to hide from God's call. But that didn't work out for him so well, did it? And it won't work for us either. Because where can we go and hide that God isn't already there? And it may be that, like Jonah, it will take a time of real hardship, a time when we feel like our lives are over, a time that feels like death, before we are ready to answer God's call. But God is patient. God is adaptable. God still wants us to reach out to others in love and mercy, to make connections with strangers and hostile people, even to love our enemies, to change our prejudices and our presumptions, and to discover what God is doing in the world instead of wishing it would all go back to the way it used to be. God is calling us out of our comfort zones. If necessary, God will pursue us out of our comfort zones. God is calling us to be adaptable. And even if we're not very good at it, or even if we actively resist it like Jonah, God can still work through us to make a difference. That's good to know. But, you know, demanding that God work despite our resistance isn't really enough. And we know it. How much more can we achieve if we're willing participants? How much more can we achieve if we actively embrace our call? We won't know until we try. Amen. Our next hymn is found in Voices United at number 562, Jesus Calls Us O'er the Tumult. It's also printed in your order of service. Let us now unite our hearts in our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession, which will conclude with the sharing of the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, you have watched over so many things during the history of the world, and sometimes we forget just how often things repeat. Sometimes we think that the way that things are now is the way that it's always been. But when we look back, we see so many profound changes over time, some for good, and some for ill. Help us in this time as we face questions of change and challenges that push us into uncomfortable areas. Help us to have a vision of what's possible. Give us a sense of the way that you would take us. We recognize that the world has changed. And so help us to understand what's possible. Keep us from simply retreating, simply wishing for the old ways and old days. But instead, open our eyes to the vision that you have for us. Show us how we can reach out in new ways to people. Show us how we can bring a message of hope into a world that is often depressed and discouraged. Show us how we can deal with not only the pandemic, but with other issues that have always been there, like global warming and injustice and so many of the other things that have been one of many challenges in our lives and have been put on the back burner through this disease. Gracious God, throughout the ages, regardless of what's happened, you've always called your people to be faithful, to be honest, to be loving, to be just. Help us to respond to that call in new and creative ways. And show us how we can be your hands and feet in the world, even though the world is different now. Walk with us. Strengthen us. Show us new ways to show your love. And help us as we seek to bring healing into people's lives to find new ways to do that. We thank you that you've given us a community of faith, people outside of standard family connections that we can trust and that we can share with and care for. Keep us from becoming disconnected, but instead strengthen our ties with each other, deepen those bounds of love that you've given us. Help us to truly be your people of faith. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together in these words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 655, All My Hope on God is Founded. It's also printed in the order of service.
All my hope on God is founded.
now in peace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of you, this day and forevermore.